Facebook Live is on. Okay, welcome to the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. It's Pastor Dominic Denisi, and I'm here at our headquarters of Rescue and Revive with Pastor Nick Lincoln of Redefined Church. It's in Atlanta now.
Yeah.
Not Atlanta, Georgia,
no,
because
Atlanta.
You know, not many people know about Atlanta in New York. But how close is that to Wayland?
So it's about 7 minutes.
7 minutes, yeah. So people may be more familiar with Wayland Cohocton, but Atlanta is the exact location. And be careful on GPS also, as I found out. But thanks for coming in. Yeah. It's been about close to 3 years.
Wow.
I believe it has been since you were on the show. We were down at WYSL, but now we pivoted and we're here at the Rescue and Revive headquarters in High Falls. So let me start off, Nick, with this, because we were just talking about it. A lot of times I start off the show by asking people about their personal testimony. I believe you shared that a few years ago, but it's been a few years. So if you want to just take a few minutes, you are the pastor of Redefined, as we mentioned, Redefined Church. And just before we get to the testimony, because I was thinking about this morning, how many years has it been? You planted that church?
Sure. I think we're coming up on 6 years now.
6 years. That's amazing, man. Yeah. Awesome work. I tell you, it was such a blessing to be able to minister there. I'll tell you that. I sensed the presence of God and just saw the people, how attentive they are, and just a desire to seek after the Lord. So that was pretty awesome. Thank you for that opportunity. So as I mentioned, if you want to just take a few minutes, people that don't know who you are, and talk just about your personal testimony, how you came to know Jesus Christ.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's been, I think, 8 years now since I've come to the Lord, which isn't very long at all. It feels like it's been forever.
6 years. You've been past this. That was quick.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been about 8 years since I came to the Lord, and I came out of severe alcoholism, addiction, depression, anxiety, to the point where I was going to take my life. And one night when I just was completely at the end of myself, that's when God broke through and really changed everything for me. And it was an amazing moment. Every time I share this testimony and I think back to it, it blows my mind, because the last thing I expected that night was to have some sort of connection with God.
Yeah.
Like, I felt so far away from any sort of goodness or grace that God would ever show for anyone. I genuinely felt like, you know, growing up in a Christian home, like, I had an idea of God my entire life. But at that point in my life, I figured even if there was a God, he'd want nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And I just remember being in the bathroom floor that night, just in a fit of anger, just crying out and yelling at this God that I didn't even believe in, but blaming him for everything in my life. And really declaring, like, if there is a God that is good, like the Bible says,
right,
that God can't exist, because here I am in this state and there would be no such thing as a God that is good that would allow anyone to suffer like this. I had, you know, no real context for God or who he was. I never really read the Bible. And so there I was in this moment on the floor, and I just remember being at this place where I just said to him, I don't even care if you are real. Tonight, my life is in my hands, and I'm going to take it. And wow. I made that declaration with so much rage in my heart. And in an instant, I clearly heard him speak to me. He said, just give it to me. And I remember as soon as I heard that, like, I'm telling you, there I'm on the bathroom floor, like, everything opened up before me as far as what I believed about the world and life. Like, all of my opinions just moved out of the way. And it was just this moment of being like, oh my gosh, God is real.
Yeah.
Like, knowing it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Like, it was complete revelation from the Lord. Like, he is real. And I have a real decision before me. Like, I can just take my life or I can give it to him.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even reason in my mind, like, what on earth would he want to do? Like, at this point, yeah, I don't care who you are. You could not convince me that God wasn't real.
Right.
But what he would want with my life, I had no idea. And I just said, if you want this miserable life, you can have it. And I felt his spirit come upon me in such a powerful way that night. And I remember, like, seriously going from this place of absolute darkness and rage to a place of joy, this peace. I just remember being like, God, if this is you, like, this is what I need. And I went to bed that night and woke up the next morning. And for the first time since I was a little kid, I woke up with this excitement for life. Like, I couldn't explain it. I was just, like, excited. I woke up and the first thing I did was pray. I had no idea, like, what he wanted from me or what I was going to do. I knew enough to pray. I said, I know this is real. I know that was you last night. Like, I need you. Mm-hmm. And I just began to pray, and I just instantly knew. There was, like, a knowing. I'm done with alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody was there to tell me or anything. It's just like, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew that I was done with the drugs. I went like immediately, started flushing everything. And I was a cigarette smoker for a long time. I tried to quit. I didn't even consider the cigarettes until I went to have a smoke. And I just remember like looking at my pack of cigarettes and I was like, I can't even muster up the feeling to have one.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, these two. Like, I was so confused. Like, are you like for real? And I was like, I'm done. And I never went back from that day forward. The depression, everything lifted. My anxiety did come back for a while. It was like immediately gone, but maybe like a week later it came back, and probably 3 more weeks. I remember having anxiety because I remember how much I started praying.
Gotcha.
And I remember praying to the Lord saying, I know you've delivered me from the alcoholism, from the addiction, from the depression. I know you can deliver me from this too. Like nobody could convince me that he couldn't deliver me from it. I said, if I still have this, I believe I have it for a reason. I'm going to trust you in it. I'm going to pray. I remember one day I was praying on my bed, laying down in my bed, praying about it, because I'd have panic attacks where my whole body would feel like it's on fire, like I couldn't shake it. And I just remember, like, I was praying. I said, God, I don't need you to take this away, but I believe you can, so I'm going to keep praying for it. And I just heard, get up and walk. Mm-hmm. And I, like, something connected with my spirit, and I was like, you know what? This isn't where I'm going to live anymore. And I felt it lift off my body. Never came back since. And since then, it's like been one thing after another where I've just been trusting the Lord. And you've heard like many of my testimonies going forward from that point. We could sit here all day talking about it, because I believe anybody who's genuinely following the Lord, your life becomes a testimony to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. It's a great testimony. I really enjoyed that. That's probably the most enjoyable one I've heard. I think I've heard your testimony before, but that was the most impacting for me hearing it again. Maybe it's because it's been a long time. I apologize. This is on Facebook Live, but it also plays on WYSL 92.1, 95.5 FM, 1040 AM. Be playing on Sunday nights at 11:30 PM on that station. Screen's kind of dim and I don't want to get up, so I know some people are watching right now. If you are, thank you. Feel free to throw any questions or comments up there. Let me pivot after that powerful testimony. So I guess I didn't realize. So a couple of years, all of a sudden, you feel called to pastor church. I know that story a little bit. I know that testimony a little bit. So let me go right to Redefined.
Sure.
Again, been there recently, see God's hand at work there. Talk a little bit about what's going on right now, Redefined. I mean, you're in a new building, and maybe how you got that building, which I know a little bit, but go ahead.
Yeah, I can share the testimony of the building first, and we'll kind of talk about what's happening there. You know, we started up in my house. First service, we had 50-some people. I had a lot of family and out of town and stuff. But regularly, we had about 30 people. But this is literally right before COVID when all this stuff started going down. So when that happened, we quickly shifted gears. And fortunately, like the timing of it all, I think we did like a handful of online services back when it was fresh and no one knew what was going on. But then we immediately, the Lord said, bring it outside. So we started doing outdoor services right outside of our house. And that's when it just started to grow beyond where it was before, which was amazing, because it was during a time when everybody was kind of like really beginning to panic about what might be happening. And from there, we kept with those outdoor services, and it really became like our church, like the location outside, like wherever we could gather outside, mostly at my house. We had a tent until the wind ended up taking that, which is amazing, because it was the day, like Leah was like, we got to really start praying about where we're going next, because we're not going to fit back in the house now.
Right.
And I was like, we got time. And literally that day, she's like, oh no, I think the tent's going to go. I thought she was messing with me. I got a video I'll have to show you sometime. It's wild. It looks like a hurricane.
Yeah.
It ripped this tent up the first time, it threw it across the yard. So what did we do? Well, we went out there and we ended up getting it and putting it back up. The next time, like the wind, this is just a matter of weeks apart, it folded in half, bent all the metal, it was toasted. And I was like, I guess it's time to really start praying about where we go next, right?
So.
And so we ended up finding this little, it's called Little House. You've been there before.
Been there.
It's just this small little place. It's funny, it's like 33 3rd Avenue in Wayland.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I was 33 years old when we were in there. Like, Lord's like, no, I'm not super into like numbers all the time, you know, but it's wild, man, because it's just so much confirmation, you know? And if that was the only confirmation, I'd question it. But it was so many different things the Lord was bringing to that. We were there.
It was packed.
Yeah, we filled it out. And that's the thing of the stewardship. You talk about this a lot. Like, we can be entrusted with little, we'll be trusted with much. And that's the way that the Lord does it. And so every place we came, he'd eventually fill it up. And it's time to go to a new place. From there, we started just traveling. We outgrew it. So we went a few different places. We went to a fire hall for a little while. But we began praying about what's going to be like the big picture location for the church. at least for the near future. We had building plans going on. Then we actually had a family that was close to my parents, and they reached out to me.
Which family is that?
So
I'm asking you to name drop here.
Sure, it's the Browns.
Okay,
they live in Wayland. They don't go to our church either, but they're good close friends. They have an event center like in Wayland, and it's an amazing space. And one day, like my mom like calls me, she's like, "Oh my gosh, Lorraine said she wants to talk to you about Nugget Hill," and I'm like, okay, let's talk. I mean, it's an amazing space, right? But we sat down to have a meeting. I remember I write my wife letters every single morning. It's like my way. I'm whenever I say it, I feel like
romantic.
I'm boasting in it. I'm not trying.
No, it's all,
but it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah,
it's not even about romance. It's funny. It's like maybe 3 years ago, the Lord like said, like coming in the new year, like how are you going to build the intimacy with your wife? And that's the first thing that came to my mind. So it's kind of like my time. I get with the Lord in the morning, and then I'll write these letters and kind of share what the Lord shared with me and give it to my wife.
That's
so she's
really
the
sweet.
First one to
but
receive
now,
it.
You know, every woman out here is going to be their expectation.
Well, good. It should be that way, right? It's a chain of intimacy. We're supposed to take what we get with the Lord and bring it to our wives. But while I was writing that letter, I wrote, today we're going to have more clarity about where the church is going to be.
That's good.
And then we went to that meeting and we left. And she's like, what did you think? And I sat down and I go, now I have less clarity than when we started. But the day's not over, right? So we ended up having an elders meeting just to pray. I sat down with the man who had plans for in my yard. Like, I've got 7 acres. He came up with, like, a brush hog, cleared out all this land for me, and was like, here's a perfect spot. It will work great. He had plans to build a building and everything, which, praise God, the Lord brought us somewhere else because we probably would have already outgrown that space. But so we talked about those plans. I had already somebody who lives right next to the church we got into. They connected my wife and said, hey, I think this church, they're going to be selling it, gave me a number. When I called that number, the woman said, who are you? And I'm like, well, Redefined Church. I'm a pastor. We're looking for a church building. She goes, this is wild. And I go, tell me. She goes, they're forming a committee tomorrow to talk about selling the church. And they were praying that possibly there would be a church that would be interested. I said, well, I'm a church. And like, we're a church and we're interested in this building. And she said, that's fantastic. And then I didn't hear anything for 2 or 3 months. Mm. Like, nothing. I tried calling back, didn't even get a call back. I'm like, well, I guess we're not the church that they want in there, right? And that was okay. We just kept praying. But at that meeting, I'm sitting down. Here's the plans to build. Here's this event center, which was great. It was just a lot of money. And, you know, though they wanted to work with us, they were going to hold the mortgage. I mean, God would have made the way, amen? And I believed for it. But they were like, well, what about the church in Atlanta? And I said, honestly, they haven't contacted us in 3 months. I think it's kind of off the table. And they said, okay. And I said, tonight let's pray for clarity. And we prayed, and the guys went home, and I went to bed. I checked my emails before bed. I had an email at 8:30. Like, this prayer meeting went from like 6:30 to 8:30. At 8:30, I had an email from Bob, who now comes to church, saying, I heard you might be interested in the church in Atlanta. I immediately texted the guys. I'm like, guys, this is exactly when our prayer night ended. Like, you can't make this up. I don't know if this is bringing clarity or making things more confusing, but that church is now back on the table.
Yeah.
After 3 months, we prayed and immediately got a response. And so that was a whole other thing. We quickly got set up into going and looking at the church. I think that following weekend, I walked in. As soon as I walked through the doors, I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
And all the guys are like,
got it for $1, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I mean, it was crazy because, I mean, it was quite the process with the whole it was owned by the Presbyterian Church. So even the local church, like Bob, who I mentioned, he's been going there since a little kid. But there was a whole committee with the Presbyterian, and it was a whole ordeal because they wanted, you know, us to buy
it. That's a great testimony.
Yeah, it's
really perfect for where your church is. It just seems like a perfect structure. It's got the pews, but it's kind of elevated.
It's got the river right out back, and it stops.
That's
like the only place in the river where it stops into a pool that's waist high.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we did some baptisms last year. This year, even last month we did 20. Then I said something that next Sunday we did 10 more, and then we just did 3 more, and then we just did 2 more this past weekend. So praise God.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah, man.
So now, you know, you've supported, not to waste time on how we met, but, you know, we met at a family picnic years ago for 4 years ago. You've been supporting the ministry you guys redefined since that time, which is pretty amazing. Not only monetarily, prayer, but you've also spoke at some events, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper. You plan on coming on the crusade and plan on going to Kenya as well.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about how that, I mean, because as a pastor, I know you've been very, very committed to redefine, which is just and right, but talk a little bit about where God has you now, because that's 5 days on this crusade, which will be more evangelistic type ministry. Ken Uwe will be even longer, and that'll be, you know, all types of different ministry. But talk a little bit about how you came to those places.
So I think like the easy summation of it all is what we, you talk about this all the time too, it's kingdom, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, redefine church, like the gathering of people I have every Sunday is the focus of the ministry that the Lord has me in. That's where my attention goes to that flock, right? Not just to what's taking place on Sunday, but to the people of that church. And that's where the priority of my heart is. But, you know, we haven't really talked about this because this is fairly new, but in October, I stepped away from my other full-time job. Right. And so in times past, it's like I wake up every day of the week, I go to work, I get home from work, it's back to work.
And that's new for you because I remember before when people were encouraging you to do that, you're like, no, I don't need to, it's not time. But so obviously it was time.
It wasn't time until that time.
Is key.
Like the Lord told me there would be a time when the ministry, the call to the ministry would begin to outweigh the call to the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And when it would be time to go. And honestly, like that week that I stepped out, like tons of stuff started happening. But even beyond that, it's like I had people, I had two guys at the same time who were up and strong, and I was able to be there with them every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would not have been possible without the job. But the Lord spoke to me. I mean, I didn't just leave my full-time job to do nothing all day and then do ministry. Like, ministry has always been my full-time occupation.
Exactly.
Even when I was working for the post office, I was ministering to people on the mailroom. But now it's given me the liberation to step deeper into the calling of the Spirit. And so it's every day. Like, my prayer every single morning is, Holy Spirit, wherever you will lead me, like, lead me. Okay. And it's been pretty wild, man. Like, I've got crazy testimonies of, like, the amount of times I've prayed, and at the end of the prayer, someone calls me on my phone.
Oh, I believe
like, I, even a few weeks ago, I had someone call me. Someone went to church, but it was his nephew needed ministering. He was kind of at this point, similar to where I was at. Didn't know what to do. He wanted to take his life. Not to get too deep into all of that, but I was able just to go. I woke up my life. I'm like, I'm leaving. The Lord said, go to him. I'm going to him. I met him out in some random place, like out in the middle of nowhere. This was like pretty far away from where I was at. But anyways, I drove all the way out there and I was able to talk to him for a few hours.
That's amazing.
You know, the Lord used it in a powerful way. I wouldn't have been able to do that with my other job. As flexible as it was, you know.
Time you got to drop the nets. So to speak, I understand that completely. So that brings you to this place of now having more freedom to be able to minister with other ministries, right? Like Rescue Revive. So now you have that opportunity. Plus, other men have matured and grown, right? That's the discipleship equipping. Yeah. So you have men.
Yep.
Sure, you feel confident. Like, don't tell me his name. Oh, man. He teaches on Wednesdays. Oh, Donovan.
Yep.
Who teaches on Wednesdays for you, right? You have men like that. You have elders set up. So now that they can fill in and you can feel at peace leaving your specific flock, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So that's really, really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, even Henry, who you met, who greets at the door, he's an ordained minister.
Can't forget him.
He does prison ministry, everything.
Right.
He's preached a couple times at
that's
church
awesome.
As well, too.
Yeah.
I've got men who are able to step in and step up for that. And obviously, this isn't going to become something where I'm never at
of
church.
Course.
And I understand that, and the people understand that, too, because God has called me to that place, and I feel strongly about that and believe that.
Yeah.
But also, like I said, it's kingdom ministry. And cutting back to what you brought up, like, well why the Crusades? Why this? Because my heart, one thing the Lord's always revealed to me, it's like the focus of the church is the work of the ministry.
That's right.
Like, that's what we see. It's not like that so-and-so's ministry, you go online today, it's everyone's name, their ministry, right? And not to say that all of those people are just focusing on themselves, but how come we have 10,000 ministries when it's like, in Scripture, it says the ministry?
Yeah.
Which means it's like there's one work of the Spirit
that's
that he's doing. How do we get connected with it?
Yeah.
So the stuff you're doing with Rescue and Revive, and even some of these people that have their name as ministries, it's all the ministry. It should be interconnected.
Right.
So everything that they're doing, and even resources that come in, should be going out to these other places because it's all one ministry if it's truly led by the one Holy
Spirit
of God. And so for me, it's like I have this availability now for more kingdom ministry and to pour in. It's just about being obedient to what God would have me do because the last thing I want to do is say, okay, now that I have the space, let's start up something brand new. Why? The Holy Spirit's already moving. Let's get connected with what he's already connected us with. And that's part of it, man. Because we can throw money at stuff all day long. But at some point, it's like we need to be available to throw ourselves at stuff.
Yeah, boots on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, with that being said, I think it does another thing. And, you know, now pastoring Spencerport Bible Church, I think what it does is sets example.
Yeah.
Sets an example for your people, for your flock. That this guy is not only just preaching about this in the pulpit, he's actually doing it.
Amen.
And I think there's a twofold purpose in that because yes, you have a responsibility to feed that flock, which you know the Holy Spirit's giving you oversight of, so on and so forth. But also part of that is I think of what Paul instructed Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, and like you talked about kingdom wise, which you'll discover the more you get into this, which you've already, but the more you get into actually doing it, not everybody is open to that. Meaning this, that everybody has their walls or parameters, the kind of box that they make doctrinally and theologically, and you'll start to discern and use discretion who you can co-labor with and who you can't, and who's not open to that. And there's pros and cons to that as well, and I understand both sides of the coin. So we're excited about it. I mean, I'm excited that you're going to be part of this. I think it's going to just, the Lord's going to use it mightily in your life. Now, moving forward, talk a little bit. We only have, by the way, this always goes by fast. We have like 6 minutes left. Talk a little bit about your in season, on the spur of the moment. You're still fully dressed in Sunday clothes, water baptisms that have happened at the church.
Yeah, man. The thing is like I love the idea of just spontaneously following the Spirit and getting in the water and going for it, you know. I will be honest, last week we did change clothes because the other people changed clothes. And I was like, I'll change my first time. Man, I've been ripping all my clothes in the river. I'm like, it's worth it. But at some point my wife's like, all of your jeans are now faded. But no, but it's, I genuinely believe, you know, growing up in churches, like I said, like whenever it came to baptism, it was always like, oh, you want to be baptized? Okay, well, we have a course coming up in May. You take the course first and actually take... It's like, wait, what? Like, where? Why are we doing this? Like, I get like the heart behind it. Like, let's make sure these people understand. But nowhere in Scripture do I see that you must understand all these things perfectly the way that we tell you that they go in order to be baptized. Sure. It's a move of the Spirit. I always think about the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, Philip's like, he's like, boom, what hits me? He's like, do you believe with all your heart? He's like, I do. And boom. You know, like that's the reality of it. It's like, do you believe with all of your heart? And the amount of times that I've seen, like, just getting in the water, like, it always typically starts one or two people are like, I feel led to get baptized. People come out and watch. And I'm like, anyone else? I'm typically getting in and back out and back in because people are just feeling stirred to do it. And it's the stirring of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's, you know, I did a baptism for a couple, myself and a couple other men involved in rescue. But went out to Canada and set up a speaker.
I remember.
It was unbelievable, man. We had two people that were there come and be water baptized. They'd never been baptized. They were believers.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. So now there's another young lady who I know, family I know, and they used to be part of my former fellowship. I got to minister to her as a younger lady. She goes to one of the private Christian schools here. She wants to be baptized now. And her church that she's been kind of, I think they've been frequenting, it's a large church, and they got to go through those steps. So we're going to do one at Canandaigua Lake again.
Amen.
So I think I agree with that. There is this kind of balance. Yeah, you should know what you're doing, but at the same time, it's very simple. It's just like the Ethiopian eunuch, what Philip presented him with, right? You believe with all your heart, you know, Jesus Christ, Lord. That's okay, there's a qualification there.
And I think that's it, because like I said, it is a move of the Spirit. I don't think we always understand like the move of the Spirit in our hearts. And that's the thing too, because some of these people, like I've even had people be like, but shouldn't they make sure that they know this and that? I'm like, if I sat some of these people down, I was like, can you articulate to me the gospel? They wouldn't be able to do it probably, but I know they believe it.
I want to say something about that really quick. You're actually right, because just like there's false conversions, there's false baptisms.
Amen.
Meaning, you know, we stamp somebody as a Christian, yet the reality is they may not be. Are you saying they're a Christian because they said a prayer? That doesn't necessarily mean they're converted. Well, if they're not converted, then when they get water baptized, that's really irrelevant as well. So that's where we leave God as the judge of that, right?
Amen.
We have to use our level of judgment, discernment, discretion according to the Scripture and the Holy Spirit.
And I don't see anything wrong with later someone's like, man, I didn't fully understand
it.
Get in the water now.
I baptized my daughter a second time. She came to me. She's like, you know what? The first time I didn't really feel like this is better. So I'm walking. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know? And so, in fact, I talked with someone the other day at church who said the sinner's prayer twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's like, both times they were. So it is what it is, man.
Yeah.
But good stuff. I mean, the reality is, I'm glad it's just you, because sometimes when there's two or three guests, there's not enough dialogue involved. But we're coming down to the end. Really quickly, you see the clock right there.
Yeah.
So 30 seconds, the people that are watching, they're going to listen to this podcast, radio, whatever it be. If you want to just, in your way, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people.
Yeah, amen. You know, I always go to 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, it's the gospel I received that I deliver unto you, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose according to the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart of God is that he so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to come here in the flesh to die for sin on our behalf. Jesus came, he lived a sinless life. Scripture says we all sin and come short of the glory of God, but the free gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus. All we need to do as people on this earth is to recognize that our choices that we're making are contrary contrary to the nature of God, and they're destroying our lives. And I think everyone watching this here could profess to that, that we've been making choices that are just destroying us. But the love of God is greater. And he so loved us and showed his love for us already that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And all scripture says is that we just need to turn, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. He died for you. He shed his precious blood for you, that even now watching this, you might believe upon his name and have everlasting life through Christ Jesus.
So,
I'm trying to keep it as quick and brief as I could.
You did it in about a 1 minute, and it's one of the best that I've heard. So thank you for that. I want to say thank you for all those who came to our Kenya night. Just put a little blurb at the end of our show for that. Who have supported our Kenya ministry. They're building the Metal Sheet Church right now as we speak. I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
thank you for your
awesome
contributions toward that. Thank you for those. Our crusade is coming up. Pastor Nick's going to be part of that. Please keep that in prayer as we finish at the Lincoln Memorial. We'll be traveling throughout the Northeast to several campuses, Penn State, University of Maryland, and the Marketplace. We'll be joining with Teen Challenge for a couple evenings as well to minister to them. And I want to just say thank you in advance for your support. Really quickly, 30 seconds, how can people get to Redefined Church in Atlanta?
Yeah, you can check us out at wearedefined.com. Right on that website, we have directions to the church. Services, 10 a.m. Sundays.
Awesome. Thank you for helping us rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you.